Christians are called to be believers as well as unbelievers. We are called to be believers to believe. Not believing in myths and legends, not believing Santa Claus or Easter Bunny as many seem to think, but believing in facts. And at the same time, it is equally true that every Christian is also called to be an unbeliever, not to believe. The very same Bible which encourages us to believe likewise urges us not to believe. In fact, it not only urges us, it commands us not to believe. And there is no contradiction at all. Let me illustrate. In order to live, it is necessary both to inhale and exhale. And these are contradictory actions. You cannot inhale and exhale at the same time. But both are absolutely necessary to maintaining life. You cannot inhale unless you exhale, and you cannot exhale unless you have inhaled. And it is the same with this matter of belief and unbelief. You cannot believe truth without rejecting error. You cannot love righteousness unless you are ready to hate sin. You cannot accept Jesus Christ without rejecting self. Jesus said, "If any man comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And also, you cannot follow good unless you are ready to flee from evil. So it is not surprising, therefore, that the Bible tells us we are not to believe as well as to believe. And this is what John declares in the first three verses of chapter 4 of 1 John. We're studying the book of 1 John. We are in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 this morning. If you turn with me to your Bible, looking at 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, again, I'd like to remind you, bring your hard copy Bible to church. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. This section, you will notice, comes as a parenthesis in the discourse on love. It is significant that this warning is given because it is rather evident that the evil spirit which are around us make a great deal on the subject of love. And that is why John says not to believe every spirit. There is one true spirit, but there are also other spirits as well, false and deceiving spirits that have gone out into the world. Brothers and sisters, it is significant and striking to know that every cult, every divine group, every movement of our day that seek to solicit support, religiously speaking, does so in the name of love. And as I have mentioned, this word love is used in 1,000 different ways to describe 1,000 different reactions and impulses. Love means one thing to me, and they may mean quite something else to you. And when it is used by a psychologist in his counseling room, love from the lips of a movie-struck teenager may be different yet when it is used with reference to the relationship of nation. There is no word, perhaps, in our language that is capable of being stretched in so many directions as this word love. For example, I love my wife or husband, and I love Liverpool. As you all know, Pastor John is a diehard Liverpool supporter, and they are top of the league now, 7 wins out of 7 games, and I don't see the Red Devil MU nearby. I love eating, and as I'm sure many men and guys do. I love sleeping. I love dog and cat. I love my handphone. I love money. Yes, so many people are naive about it. If someone comes talking about love, and this to them is the earmark, when we hear the word love from someone, we will think that he or she must be from God, or he or she must be of the truth. Now, please wait a minute. John says here, look at verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, This is the oldest tricks in Satan's back. Is that not what we see in the Garden of Eden? The devil comes to Eve and say, is it really true that God is so harsh, so difficult, so unloving toward you that he has forbidden you to eat certain fruit of the tree? Now, as you and I know, many people say this fruit is apple, no? But I say it's durian. It has to be durian. That's why both Eve and Adam cannot control themselves. And this fruit smells and tastes like heaven. Or why does the devil say to Eve and Adam, why I think more of you than that? I would never do anything like that to you. Could God actually say a thing like that and be God of love? And that is the implication of the devil's argument, is it not? Why, say the devil? If you take this fruit, you will discover new things, this wonderful thing. You become as gods and you will enter a wonderful world that you have never dreamt of before. You will discover the things you will make for in which God is trying to keep you away from. And as your friend and as your counselor, I suggest that you hold back no longer. Take of the fruit and eat it. Is that not his approach? Does that not sound familiar to many of us? And that is exactly the same line of approach that cults, ism and schism are using today everywhere. If you really want to live, try what we have in stock. And sadly, many millions have fallen for it. Many millions have been caught up and taken up by that kind of approach to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine and every new teaching that comes along. And I hope you are not one of them. It's childish to foolishly swallow every slack line and to go along with it. And therefore, it is true that a mark of maturity is unbelief as well as belief. It is important that we do not believe certain things as they are. And this is a serious warning given to us by the Apostle John here. And don't you ever think that you won't be fooled in believing everything. Don't you ever think that you are smarter than everyone else. And notice here, John indicates that this is a widespread problem. It is a big, big problem. Many false prophets, he says, have gone out into the world. And in Matthew's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ warned of this, and he said, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Do you see that? Wolves in sheep clothing, outwardly appearing to be loving and tender and concerned, but inwardly desiring only to wreck and to ravish and to ruin. And John says here, there are many, many false prophets. Hou to in Cantonese, Hen to in Mandarin and Malay is Banya, and in Tamil is Niraya. Many, many, many false prophets out there. And this underlines to us the fact that we live in the world of deceit. We live in many respects in a hostile environment in which falsehood are widely accepted, and we are greatly pressured to conform to these things. Do you agree? Even in John's day, in the first century, there were teachers going about doing certain things, perhaps giving prediction of things to come and manifesting miracles and other such things. And it is of this that John writes and says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit. What are we to do? We are to test the spirit. We are to test them. Don't be a sucker. Don't believe anyone who comes along. It is important for us to note that there is here a very clear recognition of what the Bible teaches all the way through. That behind the false prophet, behind the false teachers is an evil spirit. Men do not speak of their own intellectual attainment, and quite unconsciously to themselves, they are being guided and misguided by the evil spirit, the spirit of error that John calls it here, an anti-Christian spirit, which is behind all these false prophets and all these false teachers. And John is telling us here, just as the true spirit, the Holy Spirit of truth, the spirit of love speaks to man, so the evil spirit, the false spirit, the spirit of error also speak to man. So when we hear men and women talking about religious subjects or values. Do not gullibly swallow anything they say, especially if they appear to be attractively setting forth something about love and sweetness and kindness and like and concern for others. John say, test them. Today we are so easily cheated. We so easily fall for scam. Despite of so many warning and reports of many people cheated, a 51-year-old senior bank officer was cheated approximately of 3.38 million in a love scam, which began when the victim met a man on the dating apps. And not too long ago, a clerk lost $15,099.70 to a Macau scam syndicate. And another saleswoman lost $21,300 of a saving in a phone scam. And just a few weeks ago in the newspaper, it was reported that 500 people lost their saving and pension money after they were allegedly duped by a foundation that promised them lucrative return in an investment scheme. And it was believed that the victim suffered losses amounting to $10 million. Why? Because they took it lightly. Why? Because today we think that we are smart people. We think that we are smarter than other people and we won't be so easily fooled. And if this is what you think, there is a Bible verse for you. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed, he does not fall. So similarly, in the spiritual realm, if we are not careful, if we take things lightly and think that we are spiritual people and that we won't easily fall or fool, then you better watch out because you may be the devil's next target. And today we are living in a modern age and we face more greater danger than the ancient, because in the world of John and Paul's day and in the first century world, there was a widespread recognition of the existence of invisible spirit, the invisible reality behind the scene of life. Everything in the ancient world during that time recognized this as gods and goddesses, and these people bow down to them and worship them as demigods who are superior beings that influence the thinking and attitudes of men everywhere. And that kind of teaching, therefore, was much easier to accept in the first century world than it is in our day. But today in our 21st century, take my word, we pride ourselves upon the fact that we have grown beyond that. We have come of age and we are unable to accept that kind of thinking intellectually. As a result, you know what happened? We expose ourselves without any defense at all to the control and influence of this evil spirit. Brothers and sisters, if we are going to follow the words of Jesus Christ, then we must accept what he says is the explanation of the power behind evil in the world today. We must know this because this is so crucial, though important for us to know. Because John makes clear for us that we have seen in the letter of Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly world. It comes from a host of evil spirit. You see, the problem today in many people is that we think that we are spiritual, we think that we are smart, we think that we can recognize the difference between scam and truth and error, and therefore we easily fall. We reject the whole concept of evil spirit and demons, and we say it is intellectually unacceptable to me. And we ask questions like, what has the devil got to do with my unbelief? What does the devil have to do with my rejecting the truth in the Bible? What does the Word of God say? 2 Corinthians 4:4 say, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We ask, what does the devil have to do in my heart and mind? What has he got to do with that? The devil has the ability to control them. What does the Word of God say? Luke chapter 22, verse 3. Then Satan entered Judas called Iscariot, one of the 12. What does the devil have to do with the preventing my parents from hearing the gospel? The devil had the ability to hinder it. What does the word of God say? Matthew 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil spirit comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. What does the devil have to do with my own belief? The devil has the ability to get us to falsely place our trust in ourselves, our me, our mind. Yours is mine is mine. And to believe in a different religion or even believe in good works. And what does the word of God say? Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. You see, if we are not careful, we will be defenseless against the problem we face due to the blindness caused by our attitudes. So if we are Christian, we must look at the word that Christ sees it. We must understand it from his point of view. We must recognize that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the power of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. But of course, I'm not saying that everything is the devil's fault. Okay, that is giving him too much credit. On the way to church worship service this morning, I have a tire puncture, so it must be the devil's trying to stop me from attending church today. I actually heard of a sister from another church, and she was publicly telling everybody that the reason for missing church the week before, it was the devil behind it. The devil caused a tire puncture. No. If you ask for my opinion, I would say this to the sister. The devil had nothing to do with your tire puncture. A tire puncture was caused by a nail and it needed replacing. Oh, I can't go to the church today because the road closure, so it must be the devil trying to stop me from attending church today. At the beginning of this year, a brother told me that he slipped and fell on the way to the bank. And guess what his conclusion was? It was the devil behind it. The devil caused him to fall down so that he could not transfer his money to help someone. See, brothers and sisters, so many people are giving too much credit to the devil. Or I should tell my wife this, I am overweight because the devil caused me to eat and stopped me from exercising. And see, look at the haze, how to exercise, it must be caused by the devil. How about that? All men here should go back and tell your wife that too, okay? But please don't say Pastor John told you to do so, blame it on the devil also. Okay, the devil says... See, John says the only way to discover every teaching, every message, even if they sounded clear, convincing, and logical, is to test them. Test them, no matter if it is from men in this field of religion and spiritual teaching. No matter if they are professors in seminaries or colleges or pastors behind the pulpit or whatever they may be, we are to test them. Test the spirit. Test the spirit, try them. John say, lay them alongside a measuring stick, and if they do not match, throw them away. And what is the test? What is the measuring stick? Look at verses 2 and 3. Verses 2 and 3. This is how you can recognize the spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. And here's the test. Two tests. Two things here. First, the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as a man in the flesh. And then second, the acknowledgement that Jesus Christ who had come is from God. The whole teaching of Scripture here is that this Jesus of Nazareth, this historical Jesus, this man who grew up and lived and ate and slept and walked with men, who prayed and talked and taught them, is the Messiah of the Old Testament, the predicted one, the Son of God who was to come, the eternal one, God himself would come into human history. They are one and the same. This is the spirit of truth. Jesus Christ come in the flesh. And any teacher of spiritual matters who confesses this, John says here, is of the truth, is of God. But anyone who stands up and professes to teach men about God but does not confess this is not of God. Do not listen to him. Do not pay any attention to him, regardless of how eloquently he talks. He is not of God. He's of the spirit of error, the spirit of Antichrist that have gone out into the world. Isn't that plain? Plain language for us to understand here. And yet it is amazing how we have forgotten and neglected by it. This is the supreme doctrine which can never be compromised. The divine human person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can compromise on many, many things like worship, leadership management, or the best time for worship service. But we can never compromise the divine human person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He appears in the flesh. He came as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death on the cross. And this is the first test, the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as a man in the flesh. And here's the second test, the acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is from God. Is from God. And this is very important. This acknowledgement must not only be acknowledged as a historical fact, but it must also be confessed by the one who teaches it. It means to actually trust the great declared facts, and this great historic person is from God and is God. And if anyone does not actually confess it and live by it, then do not listen to him. They may acknowledge it, but they must also confess it, and that is the important thing. Remember back in the gospel account, there were demons that acknowledged the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ appeared to them, they say, "We know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." They acknowledged that. They acknowledged what the Jews were too blind to see, the full deity of Jesus Christ as well as his humanity. But they never confessed it. They never trusted him. They never committed themselves unto him, and they never lived by this truth. And so throughout the course of history, there have been many religious leaders, even popes, even priests, and many others, Protestant and Catholic alike, who have acknowledged the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his humanity, but they never trusted nor committed themselves to it, neither have they confessed it. And these are the false prophets who have gone out into the world. So it's not too difficult actually to differentiate it. We need to know that these two tests is given to us. We have the fundamental question to ask. And so we must ask every group, every teacher of religion today, do they acknowledge Jesus Christ as a man in the flesh who labored and loved and died and rose again from the dead? Do they acknowledge that Jesus Christ is from God, who was with God from the beginning and was God? Do they acknowledge that? And that question ought to be asked of every religious teacher everywhere. Then, do we follow him? Are we committed to him? Is he our Lord? Is he our strength and everything that we need? And I wonder how many of us would fail if we gave that test today. How many of us would fail even at the very first question? And John say, if they do not confess that Jesus is the Christ, come in the flesh, this is the spirit of error of Antichrist. Today, too many people or religious groups are using individuals as a measuring stick, the standard. And these people measure anything by what they think, including the gospel, including the Bible and all the truth that are in it. And later by later, people may end up in liberalism or modernism or whatever terms you might call it, declaring nothing of the gospel, the word of God, the life-changing message that Christ came to give to us. Watch out for them. Test them, John said. So what do you think of Christ? That's the question we have to ask. What do you think of Christ? This is the test. And this is where we must begin. We must believe the gospel, the good news stands or fall by faith in Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh and is from God, and who is available to us now, in whom we live and move and have our being. Do you believe it? Can you pass this test? Let's just pray. There are many people sitting down here in the church this morning many of whom are Christian believers. If you are believers, this is the test for you. The test for you to answer, do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as a man in the flesh who labored and loved and died and rose again from the dead? Do you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is from God, who was with God from the beginning and was God? If you can pass this test, these two tests, you can be sure that you are a believer, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are following the Spirit of truth. But if you do not confess that Jesus is the Christ come in the flesh, then you are following the spirit of error of Antichrist. Friends, this is the test for you. The measuring stick by which Jesus Christ is God and come in the flesh. That's the standard. Not what you think. Not using yourself as a measuring stick, what you think is right. What you think is the truth. Including the Bible, the gospel, the truth, and to think that you are smart enough to know what is truth and what is error. Today there are so many who have failed and fallen into liberalism or modernism. As a result, they believe Christianity, but they are actually declaring nothing of the gospel, the word of God, the life-changing message that Christ came to give. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to watch out for these people. We are to test them. We have to ask, what do you think of Christ? That's the test. That's where we must begin. The gospel, the good news, stands or fall by faith in Jesus Christ. Came in the flesh, is from God, is available to us now, in whom we live and move and have our being. And for many of us, we have believed him. We have believed that, and that we know whom we have believed today. Bless you. May we use that to share with others as well. And for those who have not believed in Jesus Christ, you are sitting here this morning, you have never confessed Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior, you do not know Jesus as your Lord, you do not know Jesus is God. This morning, maybe I want to give you a personal invitation. You're an unbeliever, you do not really know what it means to be a Christian. A Christian is one who believes in Christ, come in human being, is of God. He came to this world, he lived and died for us, and on the third day he rose again. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the gospel of truth. If you have never believed Jesus Christ, this morning I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. Just raise your hand high and I want to say a prayer for you. If you just want to believe in Jesus this morning, just raise your hand high. I want to say a prayer for you this morning and confess Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Just raise your hand high, wherever you're seated, but all heads are bowed. Just raise your hand high. I want to pray for you. Is there anyone who have yet to believe in Jesus this morning? You want to make a confession of faith to believe in Jesus? Just raise your hand high so that I see you. Yes, praise the Lord. I see a sister at the back there. God bless you, sister. Is there anyone else? You want to believe in Jesus this morning, wherever you're seated? Is there anyone else? Just raise your hand high. I want to pray for you. Is there anyone else? Do not be shy. I just want to say a prayer for you. If you genuinely want to confess and believe in Jesus this morning, just raise your hand. Hi, I just want to say a prayer for you. Is there anyone else? Father Heaven rejoices over the salvation of one sister who raised her hand this morning. I want to confess Jesus Christ as Lord who come in the flesh is of God. Is God. Father, bless her, we pray, and for receiving salvation this morning. as you have promised. You have promised eternal life, everlasting life to those who believe in Him, in Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your word. We pray that You help us be watchful at all times, that we test the Spirit, because there are many false prophets who are out there to try to outsmart us, to try to lure us away from the truth, who try to lead us away from You. Lord, may we be watchful and stand firm, because our battle and struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the evil principalities of this world, the evil spirit, the power of evil. Thank You for Your word and reminders and serious warning this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.